This episode sponsored by The Bomb Box. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The Bomb Box. Founded by six-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The Bomb Box creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift, send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com. This episode sponsored by The Bomb Box. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The Bomb Box. Founded by six-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The Bomb Box creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift. Send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Well, I'm so excited for the guest today. I've been waiting to get her on for over a year. Finally, we were able to meet in person. So today we have the life and journey of Mary Brown, a fascinating personality known for her role in the reality TV show Sister Wives. For those of you that don't know who Mary is, she grew up in a polygamous family, her dad, five moms, and 25 siblings. Mary's life took a significant turn when she met Cody Brown in 1989, leading to their marriage very soon after in 1990. Despite their plans to have a large family, Mary faced some challenges with infertility, and she had only one child. Her marriage with Cody saw many ups and downs, including a legal divorce in 2014 so Cody could marry another wife, Robin, and adopt her children. They were spiritually married until officially ending the relationship recently in 2023. So in today's episode, we explore not only Mary's early life and her experiences within this polygamous marriage, but also her personal growth and new ventures following her separation from Cody. We discuss the complexities of plural marriage, obviously, her evolving relationships with her sister wives, and her journey towards self-discovery and independence. Mary shares candidly about her struggles and triumphs, providing insight to the realities of her life beyond the TV screen. We also touch upon her current endeavors, including her passion project, Worthy Up, which is all centered around personal development. She also reveals if she's going to be a part of Sister Wives season 19. So sit back, relax, and join us as we uncover the multifaceted story of my friend, Mary Brown. Welcome to Florida and to Misunderstood. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so happy to be here.
I feel like I've been stalking you for at least a year.
It's been at least that long, possibly more than that. It's okay. I've been stalking back.
Good. Because I just feel like you are somebody that has a story that people want to know more and are kind of obsessed with you. And I just feel like you are the perfect person for my show. So I'm so honored that you're here. Seriously.
Thank you.
And you're visiting Orlando. Tell us why you're in town.
Yeah, I'm actually here to do a couple of other business retreats and trainings. So...
fun. Yeah. That's so exciting. You're now like an entrepreneur.
I mean, I've been an entrepreneur for a hot minute, but I'm just building on that every day.
Love it. All right. Yeah. So we're going to get into that. But I know people want me to shut up and get exactly into why you're here, which is to talk about you. So I really want to start from the beginning, because people that might be listening to our show don't know your full story. They just know you from the show, if they know you from the show at all. Right. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about your childhood. I want to know where you were born. I know that you come from, you know, a lot of siblings. And so just tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Yep. Okay. So I was born in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And when I was young, my parents embraced a polygamous lifestyle.
Okay.
They kind of embraced the lifestyle prior to me actually like having another sibling. I think I was like 12 years old, 11 years old before I had a sibling that was not from my mom, but from another, you know, another mom.
Right.
But yeah, so I was raised in the lifestyle.
And when you were younger, did you feel like that was normal? Did you feel like your mother felt jealous? Did you like the other mom? Did you call her mom? How did that all work?
You know, I didn't call them mom.
Okay.
I did use their names. And I don't know that you can have a plural family without there being some sort of jealousy. I think that's normal.
Right.
And honestly, that's something that I didn't realize was normal until a lot later in my journey.
Right.
Because it's like, it's almost like you're made to believe that you shouldn't, you're bad if you have those jealousy feelings, because this was like a religious practice, a religious belief.
Right.
And if you have a feeling or an emotion, you're bad.
Right.
You know, and that's not the case.
And your parents, did they choose to do that lifestyle because they came from that lifestyle, or this was a new thing in their community?
Nope, it was new to them. They actually were in the Mormon LDS faith.
Okay.
And since that faith does not believe in polygamy, they were excommunicated when I was really young.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then they embraced this plural lifestyle.
And how many siblings did you have between your mom and your dad?
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah. There's just seven of us.
Just seven.
Just seven.
Seven.
Just seven.
And then the additional ones were how many?
There's 25 total.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I wasn't raised with all of them.
Okay.
You know, like I say, I was like 11 or 12 when I got my first sibling from another mom.
Right.
You know, so a lot of them are a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
But I'm really close. Like I've got one sister, like I'm like super tight with.
Yeah.
But she's like, I don't know, 20 years younger than me.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
So we weren't even raised together.
So interesting. Do you think they watch your show?
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are they okay? Like, how do they feel about it?
Some of them are real cool about it, and some of them are still really private. You have to understand, in the plural community, in a polygamous family, like it is so looked down on.
Hmm.
Like it's really looked down on. Like I was raised basically in hiding.
Wow.
Like I had to hide. My mom taught me homeschool. And this is before we even had another mom in the family.
Okay.
But back in the 70s, you know, when you're doing homeschool, that was like very taboo. That was a no-no.
But why do you think hiding? Just because there was a sense of shame, or just because you were very private? And
no, you could get in trouble. My parents could have gotten in trouble.
Got it.
Just for doing homeschool back in the 70s.
Oh, I see.
And then having multiple wives. Like
right. This
is Utah.
Yeah.
This is Utah we're talking, and it's illegal.
Yeah.
You know, so people were put in jail all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your upbringing in terms of ideas of love and marriage? I mean, I know we're talking about the fact that there was multiple women at this point, but what did you think love meant?
I just thought love was you love somebody and you care about somebody and you take care of them and, you know, you get married and it's eternal.
Right.
You know, it's like a forever thing. It's not just in this life.
Okay.
You know.
So divorce wasn't like...
I mean, it happened. I think that divorce happens in the plural community probably as much as it does anywhere else.
Oh. So divorce isn't frowned upon.
I mean, it's not promoted.
Right.
But, but it happens,
right.
You know.
Well, I just feel like in a non-plural relationship, I think a lot of people get married younger and younger, mm-hmm. thinking, oh, well, I could just get a divorce, you know, or it's super easy to marry somebody and then you can get divorced later.
Yeah,
and
let's
people
try it out and see what happens.
Yeah. And the vows don't really mean anything. So
right.
I guess my question is more like, did you believe that vows meant like, this is forever, this is the person I want to be
with? I absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my intention when I got married.
Okay.
At 19 years old.
At 19. Right.
Yeah.
So before we get to that, what was your dating life before that?
Basically non-existent.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it wasn't like you had some high school boyfriend.
No.
Okay.
No.
So Cody was your first boyfriend.
Yeah.
And was it a massive love affair? Was it like your first love? Like, I kind of am still in love with my first love.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a childhood love. Of course, I wasn't with him for
35
years or whatever it was. But so what was it like?
I mean, you know, there was, I remember seeing all my friends like dating and having all these guys like them and nobody liked me. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know? And there were a couple of guys that I kind of, you know, liked and stuff, but obviously nothing ever happened with it. But, so when I met Cody, he was very interested in me. Contrary to what he says now. Sorry. I just had to say that. No, like he was very interested in me. It was fun. He talked a lot.
Right.
Like he talked a lot. He was very jovial, very happy. Like he was smiling all the time.
Okay.
You know, and I really, really enjoyed that.
And what was it like in your community? I mean, are you guys like riding around in each other's cars and making out? Is sex before marriage a thing, or you have to like?
Oh no.
Okay.
No, that's not a thing.
Wow.
Okay. He actually didn't even kiss me until a week after we were engaged.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
but did you feel chemistry? Like, did you know this was the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we had, you know, a lot of conversations about it, and it was something that we were definitely both interested in. And when I married him, my intention was for eternity. It was a forever marriage. Yeah.
So as you said, you were 19. He was 21, I think. Is that right?
Something. 22.
22. Yeah. Okay. So you're both very young.
Yeah.
What was that like? Like, what was the marriage like? What did everybody come? Was it a big deal? Was everybody happy? Was everybody sad?
Oh,
for
yeah.
You?
The wedding itself? Yeah. No, the wedding was great. It was a party.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, have you?
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looks very handsome, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Like I remember, you know, my mom did, like she made all the desserts. I had all my little sisters serving, you know, like it was a lot of fun, you know?
And so how did you bring up to him the fact that, well, obviously in dating you, he must have seen the plural marriage.
Oh,
lifestyle.
He was all in. Okay. No, he was all in. He was a member of that church community as well. And it was a conversation that he and I had that we would continue this. I had a time in, you know, during my teenage years that I was like, is this really, really what I want to do for sure? Like I had to really consider it.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're born into this family and you believe what your parents teach you just because that's all you know.
Right.
Right. And so like it was normal to me. I grew up with multiple moms, multiple siblings, you know, and this was normal to do that.
Right.
You know, Cody didn't grow up that way, but he, I guess, converted to it.
And so, was into it. It wasn't like you were forcing him to do anything.
Oh, no.
And you were not forcing him to marry you or manipulating him.
Nope.
As he may have said later on.
No.
Right. Okay. So how long was it great? I mean, was it great right after you got married? Like, was it fun? All of a sudden you get to be intimate, you know, like.
Well, you know, I think that it was. I think that, you know, like any, I mean, you have to understand, we literally knew each other 6 months
right.
at the time that we got married. Like 6 months. That's it. Like we knew each other for 2 months when we got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were engaged for 4 months.
Right.
And I mean, we're young and we're in love and we did silly things and we quit our jobs if we wanted to travel and they didn't want to let us have time off, you know, it's like kind of,
you don't have to worry about where money was coming
from. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, and, but also there's like real life, you know, you have your arguments and you figure it out and you work through them and move on, you know, so.
Okay. So now I want to get to the point where I want to explain plural marriage or polygamy, because I think a lot of people really don't know. If they were asked, if I did a man on the street to people, they would have a lot of different answers. They would say, oh yeah, it seems amazing. You can have threesomes in your home.
Yep. That's what a lot of people think.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of people do, and that's okay. That just wasn't what our family structure
was. So you guys
was.
Weren't having threesomes all over the place.
Okay.
I don't think so.
My famous quote was, I think it was from the first season, is we don't go weird.
Okay. You know? Well, some people think that's the norm.
They do. Yeah. They do. That was just, it was what I said. And it's like,
No. So how would you describe polygamy for people to understand it better?
So in our family structure, it was a husband, four wives. We all have a different relationships as far as friendship relationships, sisterhood relationships, you know, but each one of the wives only had a physical relationship with Cody.
Okay. Could the women have a physical relationship with each other if they desired?
That's not something that any of us were interested in.
Okay.
Or wanted. And that's not the norm in the church.
It's not.
That
okay.
We came from.
So he's the man and he has individual relationships with the different women.
Correct.
And the relationships with the women are supposed to be what? Very supportive. I mean, and yeah. Like sisters.
Yep. 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 And that's, I mean, that's kind of where the term sister wives come from. Cause it's like, we act as sisters. We help raise each other's children. And we did that like a lot. Like we never had to put our kids in daycare when they were all growing up.
You know,
before Robin came along, it was just me and Janelle and Christine.
Mm-hmm.
And I would work part-time. Christine would work part-time. We'd flip-flop our schedules.
Right.
And then Janelle worked full-time. But that way it was either me or Janelle. Oops, sorry. That way it was either me or Christine that was home with the kids at all times.
Right. That was always something I always questioned. Like where's all the money come from to support all these people?
We all worked.
Everyone works.
We all worked and we all had to contribute.
Right. Yeah. And so you just manage your schedule so that you can be the babysitter or whatever and doing dinners or whatever.
Yep.
Now, technically in all plural marriages, does each marriage have their own home, or in some homes do they all live together?
We've done it every single way.
Oh, you have?
Yep. We've lived all together. We've had separate homes.
Or separate
We've always had separate bedrooms.
Okay.
If we lived together, there was one time early on that we had a house that Janelle and Christine and I all lived in, but we all had our separate bedrooms. There was one time that I lived with Christine and Janelle had her own house. Or I lived with Janelle and Christine had her own house or whatever, you know. So we've done different things through the years.
And sorry for this ignorant question,
I'm so
interested. So then is it almost like in a divorce when you're like having a kid and it's 2-3-2? You know what I mean? Like he goes to your room for two nights, to Janelle's for three nights. Like how does that work?
You know, every family is going to do something different.
Okay. What did you guys do?
I hate the word. I don't have to worry about it anymore. But the word we always used was a rotation.
Right.
you know? I mean, it's like he would spend the time with the wife, like, on a semi-fair basis.
Okay.
You know, like if it was a birthday or an anniversary or something like that, or a kid's, you know, birthday. He always made sure he was there in that home to celebrate, you know, we'd all celebrate together, but he always, you know, was there.
Right. So. And when you guys had different homes, did he also have his own separate home, or he would just go between the different homes?
Oh, he always wanted to.
Okay.
I think he probably wished that he did half the time.
So he was the only one without his own home. He would just go between the homes. And then again, just like for the technical aspect, he might go to your house for 2 days because you knew that Tuesday to Thursday he was with you, or did it always just switch?
Oh, I never knew.
Okay.
Sometimes I knew. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes the morning of, he'd be like, oh, hey, I'm coming over. Let's go to dinner.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And were there date nights? Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
Or he's just sitting on the couch watching?
No, we'd have date nights and
So interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so now tell us what it was like when he first started courting the other sister wives. Like, is the courting process uncomfortable for
it
you?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as the wife who watched every single one of them come in, this is so weird because it's like so last year, or last decade for me, because I'm not even in the family anymore, but... So when each of them came in the family, like there was definitely emotions, you know, it's like, wait a second, there's this man that I love and care about and he's showing affection to somebody else.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a second, am I as important?
Right.
You know, so there's definitely those feelings.
How could you not think that? Yeah.
Right. Well, I thought that I was bad.
Right.
I thought that I was bad for filling those things.
But were there any conversations that you guys would have about boundaries?
There was lots of conversations. lots of conversations happened.
Yeah. Okay. And were some of those conversations like, I still love you, but the agreement was I was going to bring in another wife. Would he make sure, was part of the agreement that you had to like the other women, or that wasn't up to you?
It always worked out better if I did like them.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, if I didn't like them, it would have been really bad.
Did he ever bring home someone to court that you guys totally ran into the mountains?
Yeah, Christine likes to tell a story about a time that she's very proud of, okay, about how she kind of ran a couple of people off.
Oh, it's tell fine. Me one.
No, it's fine. It just, you know, when somebody's not right for a family, mm-hmm, and it just shows, then it's okay for them to not continue being around.
Well, of course. I mean, it would change the dynamic completely. Yeah. And I mean, it's almost like a version of The Bachelor, kind of, you know, right, like the girls end up hating each other or really liking each other, and you know who you want to have around.
Yeah.
And I think as long as each person has boundaries to not, you know, be terrible to the other women or mm-hmm respectful of their relationship mm-hmm with the man, but not throw it in their faces, you would think that it would work.
Yeah. And, a lot better. I think that's something, you know, for especially in the early years, you know, we had to navigate the emotions and figure out how it was all going to work.
Yeah.
You know, logistically, just being in the same home, if that was the case, or just the emotions. It's like, well, does he sit on the couch and hold somebody's hand in front of the other person?
Yeah.
Or are we going to have emotions about that? You know, so it was a lot of discussion on how we're going to handle those things.
This episode sponsored by the BombBox. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's the BombBox. Founded by 6-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, the BombBox creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift, send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com. This episode sponsored by The BombBox. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The BombBox. Founded by 6-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The BombBox creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift, send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com.
Right. And so you guys got married, and then it was pretty soon after, within a couple of years, right, that all of a sudden mm-hmm there were some women's. And is it called getting spiritually married? Because he can only technically be married to one person at a time, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So even in polygamous, you cannot marry more than one person in the United States. That's like not legal. Okay.
No.
And then a spiritual marriage means what?
Spiritual marriage is just what we call it when it's like we have covenanted, promised to each other, you know, that we are going to be with each other for.
So it's no legal thing.
It's not legal.
So I could say I'm spiritually married to.
For us, it was. I mean, if you wanted to, you absolutely could go Christian.
And then I could spiritually unmarry him tomorrow, and no one would be the wiser.
I mean, you know what? To each his own. For us, it was through like our church process. We had.
Okay.
Yeah, it was specifically, you know, through the church.
Okay.
And it was, yeah.
And for people that don't know much about the religion that you guys followed, what was that religion?
Does it really even have a name? I don't know that it has the religion has a name. It's just people who believe in God, and we have the same same beliefs, mm-hmm. and we have like a head of the church and leadership. And
but I mean, do they read the Bible? It's like, is that the kind of thing that's happening at church?
Read the Bible, read the Book of Mormon, which is a LDS text.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yep. So, and then when Janelle came in, you did know her previously, actually.
Yes.
I read that she was married to your brother.
She had been married to
my
brother.
Now, when I saw that, is the community there so small? Because then I saw something about her mother and Cody's father being married.
Yep, that too.
Does everyone know that?
Yep.
I don't know.
I think it really weirds a lot of people out. And it was, the community's not that small.
It's not that small.
It's kind of weird that that all happened that way.
So did you like Janelle because she was coming off of divorcing your brother? Was there any loyalty there that you were like, wait a minute?
It took a minute for me to get my head wrapped around it.
And like, was your brother like, no way, you're not going to hang out with this chick?
I mean, the whole thing was
a lot
interesting. There was emotions. Let's just say there is emotions.
But
involved.
Were you able to work through that, or was that always difficult?
No, I think I was able to work through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I like that. Okay.
And so, just to be clear, when my brother and Janelle were married, it was not within our church circle.
Okay.
It was outside of that.
And were they a polygamist?
No.
Okay.
No.
Got it. Now, I don't think people realize that you guys had a life for like 20 years, right? Before the show happened. You guys were living this life. So I'm going to ask you about how the show came into play, but what happened in the 20 years that we missed that weren't on TV? Was it very similar to when we caught up with you in season one? I mean, or were there highs, lows? Like, what was the theme of your life?
Definitely a lot of highs and definitely a lot of lows.
And moving? Or?
Yeah, I think we moved every 5 years, it seemed like. I don't know. It was probably more often than that.
Oh, God.
Like, there was a lot of moving. You know, I remember living in Utah, then Wyoming, then Montana, then back to Wyoming, then back to Utah. Then, you know, like, there was just whatever happened. You know?
Based on Cody's job or based on your guys' jobs?
Yep.
Or
okay. It was usually a job situation.
Got it. Yeah. And how did people feel about your family if you were moving all over the place? Did you guys have to hide? Like,
we were hiding.
You were.
We were hiding. We were very, very quiet about it. You know, I know that it was hard for Janelle and Christine because they would end up pregnant and they're working these jobs and they have to like make up some story. And I'm always around these kids and I have to make up some story about who these kids are that I, you know what I mean? And
it was
really weird. And then we'd had to, like, teach the kids, don't ever lie. You don't want to lie. Let's just be careful about what we say.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to lie and say, oh, that's not my brother or that's not my sister.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was really, really...
Were the kids all going to the same school?
Homeschool.
Oh, right. You guys were doing homeschool.
It was easier to do that than...
For all of them.
Yeah.
And how many kids...
When they were really young.
Yeah.
It was homeschool.
Yeah.
And then... I don't know, by the time they were, 12 or so, we started sending them to, once we moved back to Utah, we started sending them to, like, our private church school.
Right. So, okay, where people could.
And they could talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the best part of being in that foursome, I guess? What was the best part for you in, again, those 20 years before?
Foursome. Well, it wasn't a foursome.
Okay, well.
But okay, yeah.
You know what I mean. What was the best part of that kind of relationship, I guess, is what I'm asking.
You know, I think that when we were at our very, very best, we really supported each other. You know, obviously there's personality issues.
Yeah.
Or there's, you know, conflicts that you have to work through or whatever.
Yeah.
But when we were really at our best and we were raising all those kids together, like those kids, a lot of them have really, really close relationships because they were so close in age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just love each other. And, you know, that to me is really cool, is the bond that so many of them have.
Yeah. And I know that you had one and some of the other women had different amounts of kids, but what was it an opportunity for you guys all to feel like all of the kids were like a stepkid or a, you know, whatever, or were you very separated in
your homes? No, I think that we did a really good job of like, these are all our kids.
Right.
Like, these are all our kids. I mean, there was emotions for sure. Like the fact that I was only able to have one.
Yeah.
Super grateful that I got my one.
Yeah.
But I'm also really glad about the other ones. And I'm glad that my kiddo has a lot of siblings.
Yeah.
That I couldn't provide.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's so nice. I have just one daughter. I always wish that I had more. And yeah. I don't have a huge family. So, you know, I feel like that is so nice to have a village, yeah. so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. So generally, would you say that you were happy, fulfilled by the time the show came around? Like, were you looking for more, or what was the state of mind for all of you? When
looking for more wives?
No. Oh, actually, that's a great question. Oh. Yeah. Well, by the way, is there a limit? Is there a limit? Can you only have four?
No, there's not a limit.
So you could have had 7, 10.
yeah. Yeah, if you really wanted to.
Oh, my goodness. yeah. No, was there just what was your state of mind with you guys? Were you feeling like everything was going well at the time the show came around?
I think things were decent, okay. you know. I know that personally, Cody and I, we were having like up and down conflicts, but that was kind of normal for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I mean, it was a roller coaster, you know. But no, I think things were good. Like, okay. We had moved into this house in Utah. We had been there for a few years, and things I thought were pretty good at
right.
the time.
And at no point up until then did any of the three women at the time, nobody was thinking of leaving.
No.
Right. Everybody was happy with where they were. Okay, now talk about how the show came into your life. How did you guys even find out that there was a show being made?
So we actually had a producer come to us wanting to do a documentary.
Okay.
About it.
How do you think they found you?
There was actually a co-op that Christine had been working with.
Okay.
That had a lot of representatives, I guess, from different polygamous groups in Utah.
Okay.
There's quite a few. It's not just one. There's like different groups. Mm-hmm. And so she was working with that. And so our producer found us through that.
And was there a number of different people they were looking at? Or did they want to create a show around you is what I'm trying to get to.
I think they were, I don't know that they were specifically looking at our family to begin with. I think it was more, we want to create a story about this because at the time, Warren Jeffs
right.
was on the FBI Most Wanted list.
Right.
And you know, it was a big conversation that we had in our family once this producer came to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do we want to do this? Yeah, we want to show that the creepo that was in the media, that everybody thought that polygamy was all about what he did.
Right.
Which was the underage marriages, the mm-hmm. forced marriages, all that kind of stuff. We're like, that's not what it's all about,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And he was the head of the church, correct?
A different church.
Okay.
No, completely
But you guys
different.
Were familiar with
We were familiar with him.
Okay.
Yeah. But he kind of was putting a bad name to it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so when this opportunity arose, it was this big conversation. Do we really want to do this? And we really didn't.
Oh.
I mean, it was like, wait a second. We have spent our lives hiding.
Mm.
I personally had spent my life hiding.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't go to public school ever.
Right.
You know, I didn't ever bring my friends home, you
yeah.
know, like when I started like working, once I turned 16 and I started working and I would get friends, I would never bring them home. Because
did they ever ask you why they couldn't come home?
No, I just conveniently, hey, I'll come over to your
right.
place. Let's meet at the movie theater, whatever.
Right.
Right. Like you just don't talk about it.
Right.
You know, so now, oh, let's go on national TV.
And was Cody like gung-ho, yeah, let's do it? And the
not,
women...
In a way he was, but in a way he also wasn't.
Was nervous.
You know, it was like, we have parameters we need to work around because this is exposing my family.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, it was a lot of conversation.
So when you finally agreed to do the show, were you guys excited? Were you like...
Very nervous.
Very nervous. Okay.
Yeah, very nervous. And also, I knew that the story needed to be told.
Okay. So what was the filming process like? Like, was it just cameras following you and then they edited it all together later, like a lot
yeah,
of shows?
Yeah, you make it sound so easy.
Well, right. explain what it really is.
Times about 50,000.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it was.
But there's cameras in your homes, people in your home, right? I mean, at all times.
Yeah, we met the camera crew. They would come in. They'd have to set up, you know, everything that they needed to set up. All the lighting and the sound and the, you know, whatever. And then, you know, make sure that the cameras are in the right place to get everybody, as Cody introduced, you know, each of us to the cameras, you know, right, or whatever, you know. And it was like, and then we're like having to, I mean, nothing was scripted.
Right.
But we're supposed to like have these really easy, normal conversations with these big cameras in front of us. It's like, this is weird.
Right. So do you remember the first day of shooting?
Oh, yeah.
Was it so awkward?
Yeah.
Tell me a story. Yeah.
Well, I just remember Cody coming in and I didn't realize he was going to be right there. And I'm like, oh, hi. No, it was just like, oh, hello. Like, I knew it was happening, but I didn't know it was like right then.
Right.
You know, so.
And they were filming 7 days a week?
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that often.
Okay. So they weren't in your lives completely.
And we didn't have like the hidden cameras where they caught everything, like when we were in the bathroom or anything.
Right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
You know, it was like very respectful, very limited on time, you know.
Right. So when they were done filming, mm-hmm, and then you were getting ready to watch it, did you watch it with everybody else in the world? Did you get a screening beforehand?
I don't remember at the very beginning. Well, I honestly don't remember at the very beginning if the very first one that we watched was.
So do you remember though the feeling of like I'm curious about, so you have all this footage done. Were you like, but how are they going to make a story out of this? And what is the story going to be? Were you nervous about that at all?
It's very interesting because what I've come to realize after with how much footage that they have, mm-hmm, they could create any story. Because there's so much. It's all about editing and what story they put together. Like, TLC has been really good about, like putting an honest story
out there. Very authentic.
Yes.
So they're not sitting around asking you, okay, listen, we need to get this out of you. We need to see you guys fight today.
No, it's like, what's happening in your life? Let's follow you.
Yeah.
And then let's fill it in with the conversation. Oops. And then let's fill it in with the conversations, you know, on the couch or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, to explain what was going on. And so it was pretty authentic. Yeah.
So did you get into it finally? Were you like, oh, this is fun, this is cool? Or were you always nervous?
No, I haven't always been nervous. Like it took a little bit, but then it's like, all right, I get how it works now. Mm-hmm. You know, like once you understand the process, mm-hmm, it's like, I understand how it works. I'd have less questions. We always had good communication with the network,
right,
about like what's going on and how it's gonna work and everything.
So you felt supported by them.
Yep.
So what was that like coming from a life where you were so private and hidden, and all of a sudden your life is on everyone's TV and all of a sudden you're famous overnight? That must have been insane.
I remember one time doing a media tour in New York, and we lived in Utah.
Right.
And
had you been to New York before?
I had been to New York before, okay. Yeah. But what was weird was people would come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, hi. And I'm like, I live in Utah. You're in New York. How do you know me? This is weird. You know, it's like, oh, I guess people in other states watch it.
Right.
You know, so it's definitely been interesting. It's cool.
Right.
I mean, it's opened up a lot of connections,
right?
You know, so
did it change the dynamic at home?
I don't know what changed the dynamic at home to bring us to where we are now.
Yeah.
People ask that often. Do you think it was the show going public, or was it a particular person,
right,
or people, or time of, you know, time that has passed?
Yeah. Well, that's
and
a good,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So while you guys started filming at the beginning, you were not with Robin, or Robin was just being introduced into
She was actually introduced in the very first episode.
Okay. But was not a sister wife.
Nope. Not until the end of the first season.
Okay.
Yeah. No. A lot of people do forget that. Uh-huh. You know, they're like, you guys were great before Robin came into the picture. You know, right, that's what a lot of commentary is.
Yeah.
It's like, and also Robin was in the very first episode.
So I had seen something when I did some research about how people had suggested that Cody brought her in because he was trying to get the show. Like, he thought that would be a more interesting storyline.
Oh, interesting.
But forget the show for a second. Do you remember before you guys were even in talks with the show, was Robin coming around? And okay, so she was really there.
She was in the picture before we were.
And I'm just curious about the dating. So could he have dated her for however many months you guys he courts and then say, okay, this is over, like how we date? I mean, you know, we could date somebody for a year or 6 months and be like, this is over.
Yeah. If it didn't work out.
So it's like having an open marriage for him.
Not necessarily an open marriage.
Okay, explain that.
No, not necessarily an open marriage because there's boundaries and there's parameters.
Okay.
He actually was dating somebody before Janelle married him. Like after I married him.
Okay. There was another one.
There was somebody else before.
Who didn't work out.
Yeah, that didn't work out. He dated for a while and we all decided that it just wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't right.
Okay. So because everyone has such an opinion about Robin, I found out. Can you just explain how it came to fruition that he was like, yeah, we're doing this. She's going to be part of this clan, whatever. And were you guys like, no? Or were you guys like, okay, I kind of like her. How did that all?
No, it was definitely a discussion. I was with Cody the first time that we met Robin. Like we were out on a drive and we met Robin and Robin and I just clicked. Like I don't know. There was just a connection there as far as like friendship. There's, and it just kind of started from there.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was in agreement. That doesn't mean that there weren't ever any emotions.
No, of course. Of course.
You know what I mean?
But that's why I ask about the open marriage, because to someone like me, I think it sounds like that. Like he's allowed to try on a bunch of people, so to speak, and date.
So I think a lot of people, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels to me like when people say open marriage, it's like I can go out and try on for size and have sexual relationships.
Right.
But
that's not
the case.
Okay. Explain what is the case?
Well, it's dating. It's her spending time with the family, and her kids, because she had the three kids from her previous marriage, and that's how it was when Christine and Janelle came in the family too. It's like,
they're courting the whole family.
Yeah, they need to spend time just the two of them to get to know each other, but they also need to spend time all together. And that's what we all did.
Got it. But with the intention of knowing you have to be part of this family, that's part of the courting process. It's not like they're going off to Vegas or Europe and leaving you all at home.
Correct.
And okay, got it. I think people don't necessarily understand that. But you guys are not allowed to date anyone, the women.
No.
Got it.
No.
Are there polygamous relationships where other men could come in? How would that work?
I've met people who have.
Okay.
Yeah. I've met people who have those kind of relationships.
Wow.
But in our church, our structure, that wasn't the case.
Right. Okay, so let's go back to the show. The show's been on for 18 seasons?
I think it's been that many seasons, but it's actually only 13 years.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So
they
the seasons, up. Yeah, they doubled up seasons. So the seasons
because you were so popular.
Years, yeah, I guess so.
How did that feel? I mean, I still think that's incredible.
It's kind of cool. Like, it's really kind of cool, actually, that America, the world, actually, like, embraced us enough that they're curious enough about our story.
Right. Yeah. In a story that you kind of felt, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, like, embarrassed that if whether or not people were going to accept you, right? I think that's awesome.
Like, it's my life and it's just normal. And when people see me out and about now and they're like, oh my gosh, it's you. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just me. Like, I'm just a normal person. But, but it's kind of cool that I guess I can have that kind of influence over somebody that they find me inspiring or, whatever.
Right. And also learn about what you're doing and learn about your family and learn about family dynamics through the show. I mean, I think that's why the show has done so well, because you guys are so authentic and it doesn't seem staged. It's not like the Kardashians or something where there's so much staging going on.
Yeah, we've made it very, like, we've had, like I say, we've got this good relationship with the network
and the crew.
Yeah, and the crew. Yeah, they're awesome.
And you must trust them implicitly to know they're not going to.
Yep. It's like, no, let's make sure that this is authentic and real, because that's authenticity is what sells, for lack of a better word.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, that's when people really appreciate who you are.
Yeah.
Is when you're authentic.
But did you think that it would last this long, the show?
I think it's really cool that it did. Yeah. I don't know what I thought to expect, right. You know, but I think it's really cool that it has.
And did you guys all work throughout the entire time that you had the show?
Different ones of us, different times.
Right.
Worked different.
And you know how people on Bravo use, like, the Housewives show to get themselves much bigger deals, right? Branding deals or whatever.
Okay.
Like, did that really happen with you guys? Were you guys taught about that? I mean, I feel like now when you see everybody on Bravo, they have a book, they have a show, they have a song, they have, you know, a diaper line or something.
I should learn that. I don't know. That's
obviously, that's not why you guys got into it.
Right.
I think that's why
right.
a lot of people go into those Housewives show.
Right.
But I guess my question is, like, obviously, you're getting an income now that was helping.
I think being in the public eye, having the show, has definitely opened up opportunities.
Right.
But for me, it's not something that I'm not going to go out and be a singer.
Oh, you're not.
I mean,
breaking news.
Yeah, ask him. I was singing in the car today. It's like, nope, keep your day job.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay. All right. So how hard was it for you to end things? I mean, first of all, the other two women ended before you, right? So did that make it easier or harder?
That had no bearing on my decision.
It didn't. Okay.
No. A lot of people like to project that was what gave me the strength to do it. No, I've got my own strength. It comes from me, not anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't have any bearing on it.
So I think people would ask you why you chose to stay so long when you had issues for so long. What
I chose to stay because of my commitment level. Mm. You know, I had made this commitment and I felt like that there was value to my marriage and to my family.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, I was willing to put the effort in to make it work. Obviously, there were things that he and I needed to work out and, you know, discuss. But I was willing to do that.
Yeah.
And
so you believe in marriage.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'll get married again?
I hope so. I plan
so
on
you still
it.
Believe in it?
Okay, oh, yeah. Good. Absolutely.
Will you be in a polygamist?
No.
Okay. So you want one man?
Yeah. I always only wanted one man, but I also don't want him to have another woman.
Right. Got it. Well, that was what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're done with that.
Yeah.
How do your kids deal with the fame?
You know, some of them are very open and welcoming to the fame, and some of them want to live very private lives.
Okay. And will they follow the polygamous lifestyle at all, do you think, after seeing?
I don't think any of our children are.
None to this day. Okay.
No, I don't think.
What's the youngest and what's the oldest ages?
Logan is 30.
Mm-hmm.
And Ariella she must have just turned 8.
Okay.
Or 9. Maybe 9.
That's amazing. Okay. So what is your relationship with the women now?
So when I see them, we have cordial conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't seek them out to have a relationship. I feel like we had a lot of time to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the past little bit over a year, you know, since I've separated myself, Cody and I have separated and, like, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of things that I'm working on myself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really, really important to be surrounded by the people that really encourage that.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get to that place.
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, I'm just thinking, first of all, I've never had a friend for 30 years. I have like two friends that I've known for 30 years. So what is that like, though, having these people in your life for so long and knowing that they're not the ones that you can call and talk about what's going on today. Does that hurt, or are you like, no, this, I compartmentalize this? You are. You're okay.
I'm okay with it. You know, it's taken me a little bit to realize, it's taken me a little bit to realize and just come to the understanding that it's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are just in your life for a season, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it's okay to let things go if the relationship is not reciprocal and it's not building me up or building them up, it's okay to not force it.
Right.
And that, you know, that goes for him, that goes for any of my sister wives, that goes for anybody in my life.
Right.
You know, like it's taken me a minute to realize that that's okay.
Right.
I think for a lot of years I was like, wait a second, we're family. Mm. We need to really stick together.
You're loyal to a fault. Yeah.
But then I also look at my own family that I came from.
Yeah.
And I've got some siblings that I talk to every day. Sometimes I have siblings that I talk to every week, and some I talk to at funerals and weddings.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And that's okay.
So I had a question from watching some stuff back recently. It seems like Janelle and Christine are still very close, and they are not as close to you
right.
or Robin.
Right.
Why is that? Did something happen, or that's just
you know
naturally?
What? I think it's awesome that Janelle and Christine are close. They were not when we were all together.
Mm-hmm.
They were not for, you know, all those years. So whatever has made them close like that now, I think it's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Robin looked like she was so broken mm-hmm. in this last season, I guess, every time somebody else would drop off or yeah. leave. And my question is she seemed so brokenhearted that it was all yeah. ending. Was that real? I mean, it seemed real, but I have no idea.
I think it was real.
Yeah. So she really yeah. wanted that
yeah.
that
I
closeness.
Think so.
Even though they seem like they're in a monogamous relationship or whatever, just the two of them.
They are.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Cody and Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But does that mean that they will never add another person to it, or that just means for the moment they're monogamous?
Oh, I highly doubt they will. I would be shocked. No, no, he's not getting. No, I've heard him say it.
Like, oh, no. Wow. Okay.
I highly doubt that that would ever happen. I think they are very happy together, and
they found their one for the rest yeah. of their life. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what you said, it's there are people in your life or situations for a season or a reason. So
yep.
it could have been that you guys all lived this life for a certain amount of time, and it seems like no one needs to go back to it. You all had it, and now you all want monogamy in your life.
That's what it's looking like.
So for people that want to try the polygamous life, do you believe in it? I mean, do you think it can work for some people?
You know what? I think that if everybody is devoted, it could work. I've had conversations with people and they're like, no, it's never going to work. Mm. You know, it just doesn't work. Well, if you want it to work and if you're committed, everybody would have to be committed.
Mm.
If anybody is not committed, it's not going to work.
Right.
Like, with anything, that's the case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And when you say committed or devoted, are you talking about to the faith and the religion and the...
Even if you don't have... Because I know people who live this lifestyle or a similar lifestyle, you know, polygamy or
uh-huh.
whatever. I don't know. I know there's a lot of terms for it. But... and they do it without a religious background.
Okay.
And that's okay. If they're committed to it, I wish them all the best.
Right.
And I think it could. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm dumb or something, but I think that it could if you're committed
right.
to it.
And if there are boundaries and if there are,
right.
you know, people
like
communicate probably.
Right. I think it comes to whatever boundaries, you know, and parameters that you create in
yeah.
your own lifestyle or in your own family structure and how you guys want to do it.
Yeah.
Because people do it different ways.
Sure. I mean, listen, I think there are people that believe, you know, the more the better. For me, I could never, first of all, I don't understand any man that wants to date more than one woman at a time. We're nuts.
We're crazy.
We could be mean.
Why do
we're
they
moody.
Want to do it?
Yeah, it seems nuts. But then, you know, this is why I don't do threesomes or anything.
Right.
The jealousy, the self-esteem issues that could creep in. I can't function like that. So
it's definitely a thing. And, you know, like I said before, like I thought that I was bad for having some of those emotions, just because it's kind of what you're taught to believe, that you're not supposed to feel like this. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, in order to get to heaven or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to do this, which also means you're not supposed to have the emotions about it. Like, so you're bad if you're jealous.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it seems like human nature.
It's human nature. Yeah. It's normal.
Yeah. And I won't stay on this topic, but I do just want to say that I know you have, you know, tragedy, you know, grief. And I want to ask you how you cope with it, because, you know, you've been through a lot.
You know, it's different for every situation. Mm-hmm. The seven siblings that I told you I have, mm-hmm. I've lost three of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the oldest one in my family now.
Yeah.
You know, both my parents are gone and three siblings are gone, mm-hmm. you know, and every one of those losses, and Garrison, you know what I mean? Like, every single one of them hits different.
Yeah.
And you really have to do what you need to do in the moment.
Yeah.
Embrace the pain, cry when you need to, mm-hmm. spend some time alone, and when you're feeling okay, to get up and take a walk or go, you know, go visit a friend or whatever. Do what you need to do when you need to do it. But when you need to take the time for yourself, take the time for yourself. And I think that people don't. I think that a lot of times people have a, how do I say this? I think a lot of times people have a box that they think that you should live in.
Mm-hmm.
In grief. Like, it's not linear. It's like, there's not a checklist.
Yeah.
It's all the emotions all the time,
mm-hmm.
and whenever they decide to pop up.
Right. You know? Sometimes delayed. I remember for me, because at the beginning when something happens, like a tragic death, mm-hmm. Everyone's around you at the beginning. Yep. And you have a lot of people you can reach out to, a lot of people who are upset and going through the same thing and want to ask questions and want to be there for you. And then it could be months later, when you're finally alone, people have stopped calling and coming by.
Because they go back to their normal life.
Right. Then, I mean, I remember, you know, in certain circumstances, I would be in the shower and out of nowhere, I would start to cry hysterically, because it's like the only time I'm alone and maybe I don't have things I'm thinking about, and it just would happen. Or something, you know, I would see something and it would remind me, but I could be, you know, it could be months later. And I think that's when grief really sets in. And I have learned that, you know, it's okay, you know, it's okay to deal with it. It's okay to mourn and to cry, but not be stuck in it either. To try and remember like the good things and the good times, because so many people get stuck and almost die themselves.
Right.
You know?
I think that, you know, a lot of people will say you're gonna move past it. You're mm-hmm. gonna move through it. Like, and you will, but I think that there's this hole that is created.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and people say, oh, that hole will fill up. With
no, whatever. It never goes away.
The hole will always be there. What you're doing is creating a life around that.
Yeah.
The hole is always there.
Yeah.
You're going to have other good things that are happening in your life, and they're going to fulfill you in different ways, but you're always going to have that hole.
Right. And how are Cody and Janelle after that?
You know, I've talked to each of them, and, you know, I think there's good days and bad days. I don't know how there couldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, there's still times that I just, you know, like, I'll see a picture of Garrison or something, and all of a sudden just like, oh, I don't like that this happened. It's really sad, you know.
And to lose a child is worse than anything.
Yeah. And I just feel so much for Janelle.
Yeah.
You know? I watched my mom lose two of her own kids before, you know, she passed. Mm-hmm. There's a third sibling after she passed, but it's
and that
tragic.
Was hard on her. Yeah,
it's my tragic.
When my father died, he was 44, and my grandmother never recovered. She kind of stayed in bed for the rest of her life, and she lived till she was 80. So it was a very long time that she kind of just became a recluse in her home, and
That's
she was
hard.
A vivacious, beautiful woman, and it just ruined her. and it was terrible. So, I mean, it affects people differently.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so I guess I want to ask, are you happy now?
I'm so happy.
Good. And for people that are, forget about what kind of marriage you're in or relationship, I think people want to know about the staying or the leaving. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
What would your advice be for people who are in these long-term relationships that don't know if there's happiness on the other side? What would your advice be?
I would say make sure that you're making the decision for you, and don't judge it and base it off of what other people say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a lot of people saying, "Why'd you stay so long?" It's like, mm-hmm. because there was something in me that I needed to learn.
Sure.
I don't regret what I did. You know, like, I don't regret the time that I spent, because I know who I am.
Right.
I know who I am now. You know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Would have been the wrong time for
it
you.
It would not have been the right time for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't regret it.
And when you did it, you were ready. That's
yep.
the point.
Yep.
Okay. So now can we talk about dating?
Yes.
Okay. So it became public that you were dating someone
yes.
for a little bit of time. My first question about that is, how did you explain to him the type of marriage you had before?
Well, I just told him. I'm like, okay, so have you ever seen that show, Sis Wives?
Did he know who you were, though, before you mentioned that?
He didn't realize who I was until I told him.
Okay.
You know, and I told him.
And then he's
him,
like, I've seen that.
Yeah, I've okay. heard of that show. Oh, yeah, my daughter watches that show or whatever, right? Like, I mean, here's the thing. We've been around long enough, even if a person isn't watching it mm-hmm. all the time, they've probably heard of it.
Right. Even my 12-year-old daughter, when I told her last night I was coming to meet you, and I said your name, and she's like, and then I said this show. She goes, oh, my God, which one? Can we put it on? Oh, my God. That's so interesting. Yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah. So,
I was in the hotel the other day, and the kid at the counter, he's like, you're really familiar. And I'm like, probably TV. He's like, no. Did you work at this, or did you know this? And I'm like, no, it's probably TV. He's like, what? You know? And I told him, mm-hmm. and he goes, oh, my ex-girlfriend used to watch yeah. that show. I'm like, well, you should call her and tell her right. that you met me. He's like, yeah, probably won't be doing that.
Oh God, that's so funny. Okay, so are you on all the dating apps?
I am not on all the dating
what?
Apps.
What? So how do you meet
someone? I really want to meet somebody organically.
Who does that?
I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen.
Well, where would that
people
even happen?
People on dating apps are...
Yes. Well, we got to talk about that. Of course, you wouldn't trust anybody on dating apps at this
you
point.
You have to be careful.
Yeah. All right, for people that don't know what you're talking about, can you just explain what catfishing is for a second?
Oh, let's just go there.
Yeah, sorry.
So catfishing is when people... catfishing is when people lie about who they are.
Have you seen the movie Catfish?
I have not.
You're seeing it. You guys, okay. You have to see it. It's so good. It's a documentary.
Okay, yeah, no. I literally had never heard...
Well, that's why, because you weren't watching right. MTV's
No,
Catfish.
I was so sheltered.
Yeah.
Like, even still, my best friend will say things to me, and she's like, really? You don't know that? And I'm like, listen, I grew up very, very, very sheltered, right? Anyway, so no, I didn't even know the word catfish besides, you know, a catfish.
Right.
You know?
Well, I didn't know it either besides watching this documentary,
right.
which you would love, about this guy, this really handsome guy that started talking online to a girl. And he kept trying to see her, and she kept making excuses. And he was filming a documentary about going to see her. So him and his friends go to Utah or wherever I think
right.
it is. And they go to the address that they've been sending stuff. And lo and behold, you know, it's this older woman with two young kids who have learning disabilities, and she's married. And it's this incredible story because you're following their love story. And he documented it because he wanted to document meeting her. It was insane.
Oh,
so you
goodness.
See the real reaction of what he found and how he was like in love with this woman, but it's like this old 70-year-old woman. It was crazy.
Oh,
and then he
that's
got it.
Sad.
It's sad. And then he got a series out of it, going and exposing people that are dating and lying about who they are. It's
okay.
fantastic.
Well, TLC actually did a special
oh.
about catfishing after my situation.
Wow.
And so I was a part of that. And some of the stories on that one were like,
right.
like crazy.
And insane. Someone I'm dying to have on the show is Manti Te'o. Do you know that story?
Yes.
Yes. Who
yes.
was catfished
yep.
and ruined his life.
Yep.
So people don't get that it's like a real thing.
No, it's a thing. It's a thing. And it's really, really sad and it's really scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to just put it in a nutshell, you were talking to someone who you
I was talking to somebody who I thought was a friend. It went really weird, got really ugly, ended up that I was being catfished and
by a woman.
Yeah, it was a woman. Yeah. It was a woman pretending to be two different characters, three different characters at different times, right?
But that's insane.
Yeah. Like, and I don't know what her purpose was. Like, I know that she did it to so many different people.
Right. Well, her purpose is that she's fangirling over you or whatever. Right. And tried to come up with a way to meet you and be your best
but
friend.
But it got to be really, really scary. It literally was the scariest time of my life.
Yeah.
Like, it was so scary. It was really bad.
I'm sorry you went through that. Because that sounds terrible. So is that why you do not trust online dating?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, I have been on the dating apps.
Yeah.
But if anybody, like, messages me or matches on me or whatever first, I'm, like, super suspicious. Yeah. I'm a little bit more okay if I match on them first.
Yeah.
But if they match on me first, it's like, who are you? What are your intentions?
Yeah.
And are you real?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, so even if they're not you, I think everyone has that that suspicion. And
you need to be so careful.
Totally.
You need to be so careful.
And you need to FaceTime them to know that it's the same person.
Yes, I always, whether it's business or dating, you know, in this case, you know, I always will have video calls with people.
So are you dating somebody now?
No.
What are you looking for in a man?
I want somebody who's real and authentic and kind and knows what he's doing with his life. Mm-hmm. And
he has to match your energy.
He totally has to match my energy. Totally. That is so important to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big personality. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I want somebody who matches that energy.
Right.
Like, are you out working? Are you building... You know, are you working on your passion?
Right.
Are you building your dream?
Yeah. And
then
somebody who
that's who I'm interested in.
Who you're impressed with, you respect him, and then somebody who loves what you're doing, I think would be the right type of guy.
Yep. And who can support me
emotionally
in what I'm doing.
Right.
And like,
and
not
financially
just,
doesn't matter either. That's not
I mean, that wouldn't hurt too, but like, I'm good there, but you know, that
never hurts.
Added bonus. Yeah.
But you're not dating. So how would you meet somebody? From somebody walking into your bed and breakfast? Like what?
Yeah, that probably is
the supermarket.
Is not really likely.
Maybe we need to create a dating app for you.
I think so.
And we should, or your friends can, Jen and
yes,
you know, can to go through the people for you,
like,
and interview them.
Jen will totally. Like, she, there's
that could be a whole nother show. By
listen,
the way.
It could totally be a so fun show.
Yeah.
Like, speed dating.
Yep.
You know? But here's the thing. here's the thing.
Yeah.
I have gone out on a couple of dates and I'll talk to Jen afterwards and she'll make some comment about this guy's last name and where he works and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a second. He just told me that during the date. And she's like, you really think that I wouldn't have found that out, Mary? Oh. So, yeah.
So you don't
she's
Google
got my
people
back.
Before you go out with them? Or
well,
do
I do, but she takes it to another level.
Right, right, right. She's like doing detective work.
Yeah.
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 You got to love her for that.
Oh, yeah.
So she's your closest friend.
She is, 100%.
And you've had her for a decade or?
Yeah, about 12 years. Yep.
Yeah. I'm always curious about people like, who've been through it and our age, like, are you looking for new friends? Like, isn't it hard to trust people? Like, I feel like it's really hard for me to open up to anyone and be friends with anyone.
It's a different level for sure. But I'm also, it's not like I'm like looking like I'm because I'm, I don't feel fulfilled in my relationships, but I'm also very open to relationships.
Right.
Like, female friends, male friends, I don't care. Like, he's one of my awesome friends, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but like, I'm okay with having friendships and people that I trust, but it takes a minute to build that trust.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
and also to see that they are loyal.
Yeah.
Loyalty to me is a huge deal.
Loyalty is huge.
When people aren't looking, the loyalty is a big deal.
What are you saying? What are you doing when nobody's watching?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, what are you doing now? I know you're running your bed and breakfast. By the way, what does that mean? Are you like there cooking breakfast in the morning for people?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No.
Do you have a cat and do the floor squeak? Like what? That's how I imagine bed and breakfast.
So the bed and breakfast is going well. It's going to be moving into more of a small event venue type thing as well. Super excited about that. I do have my online clothing business that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And my passion project is Worthy Up.
Okay, tell people what that
is. Oh my gosh. Worthy Up is a space that is created to help remind you that simply because you exist, you are worthy. People forget that they are worthy because they exist.
Interesting. So you're saying people feel like they need to have done
something
important.
They have to have done something, and you don't have to have done anything. And what you did in your past, what happened to you in your past, doesn't matter.
Doesn't define you.
That does not define you. Right. You are who you are, and you are worthy because of it.
So what are some of the lessons that people should take out of this Worthy Up movement? Like, I feel like it is a very universal feeling. Correct me if I'm wrong, since you've clearly done this work on this. But things have happened in people's lives in the past, and they end up living based on what other people say about them, what they say in their own head. And it's almost like living a discount version of yourself.
Yep.
And how do people get out of that to find some worth within themselves?
Let's just talk catfishing for just a second.
Okay.
Like, you don't think that there was a lot of shame that I put on myself, but there's also a lot of shame that people put on me because of it. Saying, Mary, you shouldn't have done this, or if you wouldn't have done this, then, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of shame and a lot of blame that should not have been placed on me, by me or by anybody else, right? Like, and those things take root in you, and when you let them take root, you just shrink more and more and more. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to a place where, like, I couldn't even go out of my house. Like, I didn't even want to go out of my house. I was afraid of everything. You know, didn't want to be around anybody. You know, I had judgment from not only myself, but from my family members and everybody else in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Walking with your head low, like not wanting to be seen. Yep. Yeah.
And they don't get to define me. Mm-hmm. I get to define me. That happened to me. I was involved in that, but that doesn't define who I am. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. So is Worthy Up a program that people can learn from you? Is there a book? Like, explain what it is for people.
Okay, so it is a program. It's really a movement. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a movement. Like, I want to see anybody and everybody on whatever level that they choose to be involved in, to just remember that they're worthy. Like, we do programs. We have programs. We have experiences. You know, we just got together with about 12 people the other day. You know, we've got 40 people coming up, you know, this weekend.
Right.
So there's a lot that I do and a lot that I'm involved in.
Of like self-empowerment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you doing any like consulting? Like, can people hire you to talk about, not like a therapist, but kind of like to talk about, to get on the right track, to feel worthy? Maybe you should add that to your.
I think that is definitely something that's on its way.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
But I think people would love to connect with you and tell you their story because they feel so connected with you.
Yep.
And talk about why they feel similar to things that they've seen in you and ask how you got to this place.
And it's, I mean, and that's kind of what Worthy Up is I've had a lot of experiences. Mm. Like, I've lived a life, you know, there's 53 years of life, you know, but being in the public eye, having experiences like catfishing or living in a plural family or whatever, like all of these things are experiences that have given me insight into just life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that sharing some of those stories, I can't tell you how many times people message me daily saying, thank you for sharing this post on Instagram, or thank you for sharing this part of your life or whatever, because it's helped me get through this, that, or the other. Like, people share with me a lot of really, really sweet messages.
And I hope that people do realize that it's okay to have gone through things. Like, you wouldn't be someone if you didn't. And the ups and the downs create who you are. And taking a wrong turn is sometimes how you learn to take a right turn. Do you know what I mean? And it's like people, you know, when you listen to CEOs talk about how wealthy they are and how successful they are, a lot of times they're like, yeah, but I was bankrupt like three times before that happened. Yep. Or, you know, living, not living in the shame, but kind of marinating in what happened and learning from it is good. The people that don't want to acknowledge it or, you know, try and get through things and just pretend that nothing bad happened, I think that's really dangerous. And well, I don't want to ever take advice from someone that hasn't been through it because they don't know.
They don't know. They don't know what how to get out of it. Right. Like if you were to ask somebody, like, what were your most memorable moments or what was the thing that you learned the most from? It wasn't that really fun day that I spent with my best friend rafting down the river. Yeah. Like it was something really hard that they learned something out of.
Yeah.
Like you have to have those painful moments in your life.
And get the lesson from
it. To get the lesson. Yeah. To get to who you are.
Right.
Because that's what makes you who you are.
Right.
And if you let that shame creep in, which so many of us do, like the voices in our head are usually the loudest ones, you know, like if you let that creep in and take root, like that's not good.
Right. It's detrimental. Let that go. For sure. Is there truth to the fact that we may ever see a book from you, a memoir?
I have so many things in the books.
Okay. In the works, you mean.
In the works.
Yeah, right.
On the books.
That's a Freudian slip, which means we're going to
assume. There's so many things in the book, too.
Season 19 is happening this year, correct? Are you part of it?
I'm around.
Are you excited for it?
Or? I'm very excited. Okay. Yeah. I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm around. I'm not going anywhere.
Beyond the current projects, what are you manifesting for yourself?
Oh my goodness, my life is a manifestation. Like things are so good. Like I mean, there's a lot going on.
Good. I love that. And is there something that is like in the future that you want that you could tell us about that you would really love to do or be a part of? That we can like hope for you.
You know what? This Worthy Up project, honestly, this is a passion project for me, and it's only going to get bigger and better. Yeah. And there's going to be some really cool things happening with that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
One thing I didn't ask that I think people would be upset if I didn't. What is your relationship right now with Leon?
It's a good relationship. Yeah. I think a lot of people, because there's not a huge presence on social media, think that there's not a relationship, you know? Yeah. And I think that people need to understand that I will respect the level of privacy.
Of course.
That any of our kids want, but especially Leon, right?
Right.
Like,
but it doesn't mean you don't have a relationship, and that's important for people to know.
Yeah. Nope. We've got a good relationship.
Okay. Before we go, I just want people to kind of understand a little more about you. Will you give me a couple things that are your favorites? Like, what's your favorite reality show?
Watch reality.
You don't watch show. Reality? Oh my God.
Okay, I do like The Bachelor, although I haven't seen it for quite a few seasons.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't either, really.
You know, that's kind of a fun, like, kind
you,
of a
Have
guilty
you watched
pleasure.
Love is Blind?
I haven't.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
It's so good.
Is that a good one?
It. Yeah. I think you're going to be really into it. And you're going to want to have your manager or producer ask you to be on the show. Like, honestly, you find love through a wall. It's kind of fun.
Okay. That could be fun.
Yeah. That what about The Traitors? Like, were you into that? Did you watch that?
The what?
I'm giving you a whole list of things we're going to have you
I don't
watch.
Know what it's this really is. Good.
Okay. So when you go home at night, what do you do? Are you not putting on TV?
No, I'm usually either working or playing with Miss Zona.
Oh, your dog.
Yeah.
We love Zona. Okay, best. So you're not binging on anything on Netflix?
No, not typically.
So you're not a big TV person?
No.
When your show airs, do you watch it on the nights it comes out?
No.
Okay. So you don't do watch parties?
I don't do watch parties, but I have seen it by the yeah, by the time that it comes out, I have seen it. So I know what it is, and I kind of know what to expect.
Right. So that when you're at the grocery store,
social media
the next day, someone's like, how could this have happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else like that we don't know about you? Like when you're driving in the car, are you listening to Tupac, like, or Hall & Oates? Like, what's your jam?
No, it's usually podcasts.
Oh, is it?
I'm always listening to podcasts or reading books. I think I find so much value in, like, feeding my mind and feeding my soul.
And knowledge.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Like, so I'm, like, every morning when I'm getting ready for the day and whenever I drive, and I drive a lot.
Okay.
Like, I drive a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm always listening to podcasts or a book.
Got it. Okay. Do you have a favorite podcast
or Mel book? Mel Robbins.
Who?
Mel Robbins.
Oh, I don't even know.
How do you not know Mel Robbins?
Well, you didn't know Love is Blind.
This is true. This is true. Okay.
Is it like a self-help?
Fair. Yeah. Okay. She's like the top, like.
Like Brené Brown.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
She's
I love
like
that
into
stuff.
Like the confidence and.
Got it.
Yeah. Self-help. Okay.
All right. So if people want more information on Worthy Up, tell us where they can.
MaryBrown.com. You can find all things Mary Brown. And if you spell my name wrong, you're not going to find it. It's M-E-R-I, Brown, like the color. Right. No E. MaryBrown.com.
Mary, thank you so much. It was so fun to get to know
you.
And I wish you the best of luck. I cannot wait to start your dating app.
I'm really excited about this dating app situation. I got to get some dates.
That's right. but I'm so excited to have met you, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. It's been great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
This episode, sponsored by The BombBox. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The BombBox. Founded by 6-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The BombBox creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift, send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com. This episode sponsored by The BombBox. When someone you love is going through cancer, you want to do more than send flowers. You want to truly help. That's why there's The BombBox. Founded by 6-time cancer survivor Liz Bendit, The BombBox creates thoughtfully curated care packages filled with premium, practical tools designed specifically for surgery, chemo, and recovery. Every item is chosen based on insights from more than 500 patients and caregivers, because during treatment, the smallest comforts can make the biggest difference. Don't just send a gift. Send real support. Visit thebombbox.com today and get free shipping on orders over $50. That's thebalmbox.com.